Studio, and tonight we have with us Warren Bonesteel, that we fondly call Bones. He's going to be the co-host tonight, and we're talking to a very, I feel, a very important person that has been working on the research of King Solomon's Mines here in North America, and his name is James Scott. Now, for anyone that wants to look at the pictures that James has sent in to me, go to BurlingtonNews.net/J Scott. That's spelled S-C-O-T-T. J, just the letter J, S-C-O-T-T. BurlingtonNews.net/J Scott. And anyhow, this is the first time that James and Warren have spoken to each other, but I wanted James to get to know Warren a little bit, because Warren has done a lot of research on King Solomon's Mines, and basically that's how James found me, is through the research that I've done on my sites with King Solomon's Mines. But James has found something down there in his hometown, and or outside of his hometown, that he'd like to talk to all of us about tonight. So, James, you want to start it out? About what you found?
Yeah. Okay. yeah, I've researched quite a bit on that, on the King Solomon's Mines and temple, and I started out doing some research on this John Swift's lost silver mine. That's how I got into connected all that together.
And that's John Swift. That would be J, or wait, S-W-I-F-T, right, John?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, John Swift. From 1760 to 1769, he was supposed to have been in here mining silver. Okay.
And that's down the Kentucky area.
Yeah, here in eastern Kentucky. And that's how I come across this hunting the mines. Me and my brother-in-law, we was hunting the mines, and in one of the mines that we, this entry that we went down in, you know, Trina, I'll tell you that there's a curse on that because of the demons that that me and him had the same dreams the next morning that we left this place.
Now get that, Warren. They both had the same dream.
Identical dreams. Sure did. The next morning, he called me and asked me if I had a dream about the devil being in that mountain of Satan. And I said, yes, sure did. And I explained to him, and he said, yeah, that's exactly the way I had the same dream. That, Satan said he was waiting on me and him. So first, he said he'd been waiting on you for a long time. And that's when I woke up. You know, it was real scary.
Now, how did you guys know it was Satan, though?
Oh, it was him. He's the horns on his head, and he was the devil.
But he was horned.
Yeah, he had them on top of his head, and he was hiding inside the mine, the same place that we went to, but, you know, except for we opened it up in my dream and went in there, me and my brother-in-law.
But that was just in your dreams. You still have not yet opened
there,
the mine.
He was there waiting on us.
Uh-huh.
My brother-in-law had the same identical dream.
One question for you. Was there any other indication that it was the devil besides him having horns?
It was him. I've seen, pictures and such. And according to Solomon, he's supposed to have demons in guarding his treasures.
Well, demons don't necessarily have horns. Part of the experience that that you're talking about there, having the common dream like that after that experience, it's not only a psychological type of thing, but it's also, and it's not even a cultural-based thing.
Mm-hmm.
It ties in with the physics of consciousness and the ley lines, the Earth's magnetism. It all fits in together.
Yeah.
And under certain circumstances, people will have these very similar exact experiences like this.
Yeah.
Which could have been set up prior to, when Solomon or these ancient ones were doing some sort of a ceremony where, when somebody went to that certain section, because we believe it's a temple area too, right?
Right.
And so that so what Bones was saying is that is possible that that could easily, that could yeah. happen because of the certain ceremony or whatever.
Yeah, that's not something I would dismiss outright in any case. The other thing, too, is that tells me that it's quite the location where they were at was on or very near a junction of a ley line.
Yep, that's what I thought, too.
Well, in that bowls, the picture that I sent you, there is just...
Now, have you... Oh, okay, I'm going to stop you. Now, Warren, have you had a chance to look at those pictures?
Yeah, I had a quick look at them, yes.
Oh, okay.
And that bowl there, you know, represents Solomon's gate. That's what I've read on it. These are rock there, just a bit of description of the... See, the entry is just below there. Within a few hundred feet of that rock.
Now, that rock would be, for people looking at the site, burlingtonnews.net/J. Scott, that would be the right column, last picture. Okay. That would be a rock.
Mm-hmm.
And you said that that faces to the east.
Yeah, it faces a little bit northeast.
Northeast.
Somewhere, yeah, right around... northeast, but the hill itself is setting east and west of where the mines is, and these mines, supposed to be a mine there too. That was the reason we went down in this cave underground. That's where the entry is supposed to be.
Now, you said that you actually found steps.
Yeah, they were steps cut out going down in this place, and I know the Indians didn't cut them out. They had no reason for that. And Swift and his men didn't cut the rock out either. So they were there long before their time. And a couple other veterans had went into this place, and they was telling me about the steps too, you know, going down in it. And they had no idea why them steps would be cut out that far back, and it led to nowhere. It just led down in there, and then it fell in or dead into there in this big hole in the ground there. Them steps is something else. You know, that leads me to believe that they've been packing something in and out there, or packing something in going down the steps. Now, the steps right now, you couldn't see them because it had fell in where they'd logged this place. They took timber off of it, and the dozers had went just above it, and it shook the ground there around it, and it fell in a whole lot on it around this entry there. So the steps would be covered up, because I didn't see them the last time I was up there. It fell in somewhere on top of them. That had to be uncovered.
And it seems like then at the end, now is that like a solid rock wall?
Yep.
As you go down to the bottom of the steps, or does it look like there is, or did the guy just explain it more like a cave-in?
No, this was rock. There's steps cut out going down in. A lot of steps going down under the ground, you know, in this cave, like underground there. And when you get down in there, it was like a huge room in there, big, it's huge. But, you know, there's no entry once you get down in there. It all fell in around the sides of it. And it didn't look too safe to be down in there for the overhanging rocks in it at the time. So we didn't do no digging on that one. And it was unsafe.
And then what else did you find? Now, where was that... you said that there was one place that you went that you actually moved a slab, and when you moved that slab,
yeah,
something happened.
Yeah, off in this other entry. Now, it was to the south of this same place I'm talking about, but it's on the opposite side of the hill.
Uh-huh.
Going down from the top down to the other side to the south. And it was in about the same level as this other entry. And that's the one where we had the dream at when we went down in that one. So it had at least three steps cut out going down into it. And when you get down in there, it's like a room cut out of a rock, solid rock, overhead and the side. And it was real dark in there. We didn't have a flashlight, and it was getting late. And when we come back out, we stood the rock back over, you know, keep them in back finding it. But that dream come to us that same night that me and my brother-in-law had. Same one, about the Satan being in there.
But now, you also said that you pulled a slab off, and there was a hole underneath that slab, and you said that there was like a mist that came out of there. And then as you guys took off and left, going down over the mountain, you looked back, and there was that white light.
Yeah,
it lit up the entire side of the mountain.
Yeah, that was one of the mines that we dug out, and it was to the east, a couple miles from there. Yeah, about 2 miles to the east we dug on one, and it was around 11:30 at night, and we'd had a little fire built there. It was a little bit cool, and they were six of us there digging on it. And when we dug down in there, the air was real cool coming up out of it. We just punched a hole through it's what we done. And it was just in a few minutes, there was something coming out of there, like a light or something, and it lit up the whole side of one side of the hill there. It just a big glow. I don't know what it was. It was just a big light. It just glittered. It was probably few hundred feet wide and maybe a couple hundred feet long. It's as big as one of the trees, you know. It lit the whole tree up.
So that didn't look like anything resembling swamp gas or something of that nature.
It wasn't swamp gas. I mean, if that's there's nothing like that, you know. Yeah. in this place where we was at.
The reason I ask, you sound like you're something of an outdoorsman, so you'd be familiar with that phenomenon anyway.
Yeah. No, listen here, them boys, you know, they, some of them, we kind of pitched rocks at it, you know, and it just went right through it, whatever it was, and it floated off to the top, and it just shot right out into space. It was gone. It just left. But it was just it lit up, you know, it lit up this whole tree. It come right out, it seemed like it come out of that hole. It just, something, you know, come right up out there, and then it went over the hill to the side of the hill there and just lit the whole thing up. We all seen it. We didn't know what it was, but it was just like a lot of little glitter, real bright, glittery looking, you know, lit up. It stayed there for a couple of minutes, and it took off. It just shot right off.
And then everything went black again?
Yeah, everything got back normal, so we left.
I've got a question for you, James.
Yeah.
This one picture that I'm looking at on the website, there appears to be a plastic water jug sitting on top of this rock.
Yeah.
And right below the rock, there looks like there's some sort of marking scribed into the face of that boulder there.
Yeah.
It looks like a circle with a cross in the middle of it or an X.
Yeah, I didn't see none. I looked around there a little bit, you know, around the edges there. I was getting some pictures.
I never seen that.
But now it's kind of broken up around there, you know. There's cracks in the ground there.
Right.
That leads me to believe there might be an entry right underneath that, where that bowl is. There may be an entry there. I've never, you know, dug or anything there.
Is that sitting on a little bit of a mound of some sort there?
It's up on the side of the mountain on a slope coming down.
Not on the mountain. It's on a mound on the side of the mountain.
Okay. It's right on the little ridge coming down. It's sitting right smack on top of the ridge coming off.
So yeah, that does sound like a mound, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, just the way it looks in that picture, it looks like some sort of a mound.
Yeah, it's sitting on like a mound?
Right.
Yeah, it's sitting on a mound.
Just like a pile of dirt and rock?
Yeah, there's a mound it's sitting on. It's, you know, several feet high. And it's probably a good 400 feet long. And it goes back off at the back of it. It just drops back down over the hill again and goes back up to the main top of the ridge.
Right. Now even more modern history aside, with the account of Swift and those others, that I think that would be worth an investigation by somebody who knew more about what they were doing.
Yeah. See, Swift, we found the mines, at least three of them, and that rock was, Swift mentioned that rock, he called it the Buffalo Rock. Well, it does look like a buffalo from the side. It looks like a bull to me when you look at the face of it.
Allow me just a couple more questions for the moment. Would there happen to be a small spring or a dried up spring near that? You know, within 100-200 feet of that?
Yeah, well, there's an old spring they call Indian Spring. It's been there for hundreds of years, according to the old timers that lived in this area.
They're looking for primary water, huh?
But yep. That was at the mouth of the hollow where this rock is.
Right.
You go
okay,
out
a follow-up question here is, are there any trees or even saplings there that their trunks are twisted?
That I don't know.
Don't remember, huh?
No, I wouldn't remember that. They could have been. You know, they could be some around there. I've not paid that much attention. I know they logged the side of that same hill there right now. They cut all the timber off of it.
Right, but you would still see the phenomenon in smaller saplings, and it might not be directly even... You'd almost have to look for it, I think, in that situation.
Yeah.
Are you seeing any cedar trees, too?
Well, they are back toward the main top now, these pines and cedars on the main top of the ridge.
Yeah, that's where they would be. It's right at the top.
Well, you said it's been logged off in the past, so that would be a factor as well to remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, these pines and cedars on both sides of the knobs around here.
James, tell Bones about that, how you came across it because of that map.
Oh, the map of this, the one on the slip?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the map that I got fits that area in there. It fits it, you know, just every branch on it is the same as on his map. That's how I, you know, found where the mines was and the Buffalo Rock. And it's all right there.
So he found a map in an old magazine.
Right.
And then you guys found another map, right?
Yeah.
And then you checked out a library, you know, and they started just piecing it together. And, I mean, this has been how many years in the process? 30?
It's been almost 30 years, right at 27 years.
Yeah.
27 years. And I've researched the Joe Swift, my brother and my brother-in-law and several friends I picked up and wanted to go with us. So we've been at it, you know, all this time, and I've done more research than about anything. And but we found this. We found carvings too indicating that Swift was in here. Now, one of his men was named Flint, and I found his name card just, you know, with a half a mile of this place. On some high rocks, a man by the name of Flint, and one that was named Fletcher, and I found his name, and John Swift. Now, if he carved his name as J.S., I found that several places and found dates with it in 1763 and found one in 1765. Those dates fit in the same years that he was in here. And I found triangles that he's supposed to have carved at the mouth of the creek where he had buried some money, some silver. See, they mined silver, and plus they melted it down and made coins out of it, English crowns. But most places I looked for these treasure sites, that they'd already been dug up and removed. There's nothing there but just holes left. And whatever was in there is gone. Somebody had dug them up. One state, Swift stated that he dug them all up and moved them to the south of that and put them into a great cavern of Shawnee that no one knew about. You know, it's a secret cave that they knew about. It's a great Shawnee cavern, they call it. And that's where he's supposed to bury all his money.
But now you said a friend of yours actually found about 5 barrels or something like that of coins?
Yeah, he did. That was over at Break Cedar State, Elkhorn City. See, that hill is nothing but limestone caves through that area. That runs from parts of West Virginia plumb into Tennessee, all the way through Kentucky and right on down the border. It's the big mountains through there. They're around 3,200, 3,300 feet up.
And see, that was that area that Tim was in, Bones.
Right.
It's all limestone cape, but now, according to Mr. Gibson, no, he went 8 miles down into that cave when he pent up six barrels of money in there. And he had brought two barrels out. He got two out, but he didn't go back and get the rest of them. He had several falls in there, you know, and injured himself. And he was warned to stay away from this place, so he didn't go back. And the rest of the money's still in there. There's still four barrels of it. But 8 miles is a long ways under them caves for anybody to hike that far. I couldn't go that far myself. Couldn't do it.
Well, Tim was, I think he said they figured 30 miles that they traveled.
Yeah.
They were down there for 4 weeks, close to.
That's a long time.
Yeah, I think he went back down. We haven't heard from him. He was supposed to come back to Wisconsin, never did, and I think he went back. Because I wanted him to stop over on his way back and stop to visit James. And he said that he had to get back here to Wisconsin, but then he never came. So.
So that, you don't think that was Satan that I've seen in that cave that had that dream about? I was asking him there if he believed that too it was, because it looked to me like that too it was.
And let's dive into something else. About ancient history, there's some indication that there was a breed of human being that actually had horns, that were actually horned human beings, or horned giants.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't always the bad guys.
Yeah. But now this figure that I see, he looked like Satan, and he was huge. He was real huge. He was big, and from what I could see, he was right in there. Now, we went like several hundred feet back in there, and there he was. He was huge, and he was.
Yeah, there's certain aspects of this, James, that I think of as being the remnants of an ancient civilization's science. You know, a type of science that we don't understand or comprehend. And certain aspects of these things, I think, are some sort of a remnant of that ancient science.
Yeah. Well,
it's not necessarily evil or good. It's just that if you do the wrong thing at the wrong time, the wrong way, you're going to get hurt.
Yeah.
And that's where your ceremonies come in. And also these people of the Atlanteans and even Solomon days, they had great magicians. And that knew how to conjure certain things, and they could have this. They could be somehow. They could have something there in that area that affects the mind. You know, where you almost like a mass hallucination or sharing of a dream or you know, we just don't know how. What their magic was really capable of, but we do know that when they would conjure this certain magic, they would have the greatest warriors on the battlefield turn around and run off the battlefield. So, I mean, you know, they were powerful wizards.
Yeah. Like I mentioned to you there, Murray, about these triangles that I've done some filming up there in the front of that, me and my buddy.
You got to speak a little bit louder.
Okay, yeah. I got the recorder there, and I've done some filming in this area up there where them caves is. And a buddy of mine, and he went down in there, and I was outside doing some filming around the base of it there. I wanted to look it over when I got back to the house, and I filmed around the hill there. And he'd come on back out, and in the front there where the entry is, there was a bunch of triangles that come onto the film itself that I couldn't see at the time, but after I got back to the house, I turned it on there and was watching it. And in that same area there where the entry is, it was Oh, they was 30 or 40 triangles that come on the screen of it. Just about took the screen of the picture out. That come on the face of it. And they were like black and white triangles in different orders there, you know. One after the other, black and white triangles. And I think I read somewhere where Solomon, he built in triangles and such like that, magical triangles, I believe. And I think in one of Jesse James I read about there in the Shadow of the Senator there, that book, he mentioned something about magical triangles there in and around this area. He mentions hiding money in Solomon's temple. And have you heard of anything like that? About the triangles?
It's a part of sacred geometry and what we call sacred geometry and what we could refer to as Platonic solids.
Yeah.
And it does tie in with what other people refer to as hyperdimensions.
Yeah.
And so there's all of this aspect of all this going on there. It sounds like a very, very interesting site. It sounds like a place a man could spend several days just researching and sketching and taking notes.
Yeah. Now these triangles, you know, it's something to see there. It's on the film itself, you know. They just come right onto the screen just as I go in this one area there, right where the entries is when they appear on the screen. And when you keep move the camera around away from that area, then they go away. But when you come back to that same spot there, they appear again.
Just to reassure you, James, I absolutely believe everything you're telling me because it all fits in with every aspect of all my research.
Yeah, I do too. That's why I wanted you.
My explanation might not match the same as Mary's explanation. It might not match the same as the neighborhood psychics.
Yeah.
But I understand what's going on here, and it's perfectly explainable.
Yeah.
You know, the only thing that that I want to know is, you know, who did it, why, and how did they do it?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the rest of it I have a pretty good handle on.
Yeah.
This is all perfectly explainable. It all has to do with light and vibrations and harmonics. It has to do with the electromagnetism of the Earth is an electromagnetic generator. The Earth puts out a magnetic field.
Yeah.
And in some way, some form, somehow, the ancients were able to tie into that magnetic field of the Earth as an electromagnetic generator, and they were able to use that force, to use that energy.
Mm-hmm.
And how they did it, how they went about it, what their combination was, I don't know yet. But I can explain all this scientifically. There's actual real science to back it up.
Yeah.
This is the real deal. This is a real experience. Everything you've experienced and talked about makes absolute perfect sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also, by talking to James, I also found out that the temple area is actually separate from the mine areas.
Yeah.
Okay. Except we think that the main mine, or like the cache, you know, of the treasure, may be right underneath the temple itself, you know.
Yeah.
But just the regular mining is away from that area. So, and it seems like that temple area is the highest spot, right? Am I correct on this, James? The highest spot there?
Yep. Yeah,
and it's kind of like sets in the center or back away from the mines.
Yeah, it's probably a good 1,000 feet on above where the bull rock's sitting at, on above there. And there's a big knob right at the main top, and it's all rock, every bit of it. It's sort of round.
Somewhere in the area, aside from what was done in the 1700s by whoever was working the area, somewhere in the area you should be able to find some depressions or pits where they actually worked the ore.
Oh yeah, the charcoal pits.
Right.
Yeah, we dug several of them up.
Now you'll have some of those that will be from the 1700s, and then there'll be others that'll be older than that. And of course you'll know that those charcoal pits like that are going to look different than if there'd been a forest fire or something.
Yeah. Yeah, now they're around the I call it the mint rock. It sets up around 4.5 feet tall. and it looks sort of like a pyramid rock. It's been cut out, and at the main top, it's got a triangle cut out on the same rock with a hole right down in the center of it. And it's probably 4 inches wide, maybe rounded there, 4 to 5 inches round, right down in the center of that triangle.
I have those pictures, so I'll get them up right now. I thought I had them up, but I don't, so I'm going to try pulling them up now.
I'm trying to remember, and I'm drawing a blank right now. There was one of those ancient cultures where the triangle in particular, is one of the Euro-Asian cultures, the triangle in particular was what we might call sacred to them. It was almost totemic. But I can't remember which one it was.
Yeah.
Well, you know, also, this Bones, when I told you about the an ancient name for Atlanta was Appalachia.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, and this is and this
it was a logical, rational progression too. It made sense the way you presented it to me before.
Yeah, and this sits right in Appalachia, right in the Appalachian Mountains. So this would be the land of the Atlanteans.
Right, and that ancient culture was just about that old. It's from 4,000 or 5,000, 6,000 years ago or before.
Yeah.
Which tells me that in some way, shape, or form, the ancient Phoenicians and Scythians were somehow involved.
Yeah.
Because they're all tied in with the ancient Atlantean culture.
Well, it seems to me what's happened is, first of all, you had the Atlanteans, right?
Then
they turned around and they went to the east and formed the ancient Babylonian and Egyptian cultures. From there, the Solomon learned of these places in Appalachia, you know, where and then up here in Wisconsin, all these areas, he had the old maps, so he came here to start mining, and then from there Smith came along, you know, various people, and we found out that that Swift was, as well as Jesse James, was a Mason.
Oh, really?
And they, that's what James said.
Yeah, Jesse James was a 33rd degree Mason.
So that all pretty much fits right in.
Exactly. So they would have had somehow, some way, they ended up with access to these old maps, then went back to where Solomon was and found what he had and just started hiding their wealth in the same locations, from what I understand.
Mm-hmm. The interesting thing there was that rock, the mint rock that I found, it's got mint carved on the side of it. It was all growed over with moss and the roots that growed around it, and we scraped all that off, and there was mint carved right on the front of it. And that mint, tell me, what I can find out, that's where they minted coins in and around this area. Because it was the mint. Because it had it carved right on the face of this rock. And with about 15 feet of this rock was a flat rock that's laying again the hill there. It's a big flat one that's covered up with leaves and such. And we'd scraped them rocks off looking for carbon. They was mint wrote on it in big letters. So these two rocks there got mint wrote on this flat right near the top of the ridge.
That's the English word mint?
Yep, it's written in English because the words, the letters were real slanted words, you know, they was leaning to the side. And I've got some English writing that where Swift and them had wrote, he kept a journal of his activities in here when he was mining. And his ends are slanted identical to the ones that I found. So they had to be made from the same person.
Exactly.
Yep. I see. I've researched every bit of this. And the same ones that wrote what I've got, so that's how I know that Swift was in here. But I found, you know, a couple of men's name, and that would verify that. And that rock, that triangle on it with that hole in the top. And what that means is, if you find it carved along creeks and hillsides on rocks, that means treasure's buried there.
Right. Now, the triangle wasn't just a Masonic symbol, though. It belongs also to an ancient culture. Did you notice any older carvings or scratchings of triangles.
Yeah, I found triangles carved within a few miles of this place at the mouth of the creek on the hill.
But they were definitely older than the ones that were probably done by...
I don't know if there's any older or not, but this one had a big J cut right beside of it and had an arrow cut on the other end of it pointing down the ridge to some other rocks.
And now that one's on our site.
Yeah, and it's pointing to another one, and we went down there was looking for a... another one that where the arrow was pointing to, and we did find another triangle cut down there with a dot in the middle of it, and that means treasure. So we found holes dug below there on this kind of a flat going around below them high rocks, and we went right straight below there, and they was holes dug down there, big, deep holes. So someone had dug that one up and had moved it or had got it. But there's no mention of anybody finding anything, you know, as long as I can remember.
No, there probably wouldn't necessarily be. I mean,
yeah.
Wouldn't have to be. Somebody just take it, not tell anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they were following Swift directions during his lifetime or after his lifetime.
Yeah.
You know, it may have been another Mason doing it.
But I noticed around the Mint Rock, now we dug around here looking for treasures there. And that dirt that we dug into around here was just as red as it could be, just like it'd been hot or been burnt. And it was at least 2.5 feet deep with solid red dirt. And there's no red dirt that I ever knowed of, you know, on any other hills I've ever dug except for around that rock.
Right.
And see, the red dirt is sacred. It's always been considered sacred.
But it's just as red as it can be. Dirt.
Yeah, it wouldn't necessarily be burnt either.
Because now remember, the Atlanteans, okay, the Cherokee, they always used to carry red dirt with them because it reminded them of their homeland.
Right.
Okay, which goes back to Atlantis because that used to be, they used to call it the old red land.
Right.
So that, when you'd find red dirt that's been brought in, that would probably be symbolic of Atlantis.
Well, that's also something else you'll find in Transylvania. If you discount the vampire stories, it was a part of their culture. You know, they took whenever they were leaving for an extended period of time, they took some of the dirt from the homeland with them.
Right.
Now, I found with a metal detector, I found bits, just little pieces of old horseshoes on the same flat there around where the rock was, but they were just small pieces that all rusted away.
Right.
But they were horseshoes.
Well, you'd have found bits and pieces from two or three different periods of even American history up on that hillside.
Yeah. But now the Shawnee, according to Swift, they were the Shawnee cave somewhere. He called it an ancient Shawnee cave. An ancient cave. Even back in his time. And I've read some stuff on that. And of course, the Indians were looking for it too. They'd lost track of where it was at. They're over there in the, around the Breaks Interstate Park looking for it over in there around the Limestone Cave area. And they come in here every year from different places. Indians are looking for that great cave. They're supposed to be something buried in that cave. It's a ceremonial spot, they call it, with an altar in it of some kind. What I read on it, you know, the research I've done around this area on it, a great cavern of Shawnee, they call it. And that may be what's up here on this hill is that great cave. It could be. For the steps.
It's a possibility from what you've told me and what I've seen on these pictures.
Yeah.
That would be a very good possibility. If it's not on that particular hill, it's going to be on one nearby or near one nearby.
Well, there's one within 20 miles of this place. That I've got a map that fits that area, too, according to Swift. It's his treasure cave. And I believe that may be the cave of the Great Shawnee. It's 20 miles of this one here. But it's, you know, straight due south from that place. And we dug on a place up there and where we thought it was at, because we got the map on it, went right to this one spot where it's real rocky, with a lot of rock around, high rocks, and we dug where there's an old trail that comes around the mountain. And according to the old people that lives in that area, they claim that was where the old pioneers that come in here and travel them trails, plus the Indians used them. So that's an old trail, an old road that comes around from out of Virginia that comes into here. And we dug right there where it dead ended at this spot, and there was a place there, it looked like an entry, and we dug in that, and the water started coming up out of it, filled our hole up, and it started to run down the hill, so we filled it back up because of the homes down at the, you know, off the mountain. We afraid that the water might break loose and start washing everything out. So we filled it back up. We didn't dig on that.
See, now that could have been like a something that you remember, with the down there at in Atson, down by Lake Mills. When they left, they flooded that area, you know, flooded the pyramid, you know, so people couldn't get to whatever was in there. So that could be possibly what happened there, is they actually flooded that, you know, to protect whatever's in there.
That's why I was afraid to open this, and afraid it would just, you know, wash everything out of there.
Yeah.
But I believe there's a big cave in there, and it's got water trapped in there, and it's in there.
Yeah. Well, that's what they did, you know. We've got evidence of that right down there at Aslan. And, Bones, if you refresh that page, burlingtonnews.net/J. Scott, I just put up those two rocks that James was talking about that have the mint on them.
Okay.
And I noticed that one rock that you have, James, with mint, there's like a big circle up on top, like a hole up on top of that rock. And you know what that reminds me of is the old cup stones, they called them.
Yeah.
And what I'll do is I've actually got, I did some work on the cup stones when I was doing research of the Manitou stones.
Yeah.
And so I've got information on those cup stones, so I'll add that information to this site as well, and also send you a link so that you can study those cup stones.
Yeah. Okay, and that one rock, that picture I got there that I sent you, that rock, it's got the Egyptian space on it.
That would be the, for listeners, that would be the first picture on the right side. That's the one of, it's kind of got like a side profile with a nose sticking out, right? Mm-hmm. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah.
With the big nose?
Kind of, yeah, small rock with that face carved. It's got a cat carved on the back of it, backside. Cat.
That's an Egyptian thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that was found up just below this same holler that's got that bull rock in it. It was plowed up in one of the fields out there at the, you know, about at the mouth of it where they farm in the bottom land. Now that was plowed up in there, that rock was.
Anything, I mean, any way you look at what you got going here, James, it's extremely interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems to tie into everything that I know about.
Now, you got that one picture that you sent me of the owl. Now, is that on a tree, carved in a tree, or is that on a rock?
The owl?
Uh-huh.
Let me see now. Which one was that? I sent you one on a tree that had a date on it. The one that was 1763. One that had like a dagger or a cross at the bottom of it. It would have to been on the tree then, the one you're talking about there. It had been taken off on the tree. Yeah, on the beech tree.
Okay, yeah, that's what it is. But, and you have it kind of like outlined in pink or something.
Oh yeah, that's on the big beech tree.
But there's quite a lot of other symbols besides that. There's something up on front.
Yeah.
Or up on top, and then it looks like a symbol for maybe the sun to the right of that owl.
Yeah, that's,
or it's a spider, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what that is, but see, I had two better guys with me at that time, buddies of mine lived in a couple of counties from here, And they're looking for that Knights of the Golden Circle track, the one Jesse James is supposed to have hit. And they claim that was part of his carving there, the Knights. And he had some literature on that. And he said that's part of the Knights of the Golden Circle. The crater, they got buried somewhere in this area. And that's the one I believe is up there in that mountain that I've been doing some research on. It's hidden in that hill there. I believe there may be several of them buried in there.
Well, that's what I think, too. Yeah. They just found it, and they just kept using it over and over again.
They kept using that same place. And it fell in over the years. Of course, the dozers that was in there done more damage than anything because they made a road just below it and one just above it. Logging it, you know, and using heavy equipment in there, and it's charred that ground and it's caved in a lot of it. Sure is. That's what covered the steps up, and you can still get in it, but it don't look too safe to go down in there. That's the way it fell in.
And see, now, Bones, where we got a problem is somebody bought up that property, and they're possibly going to go in there and do coal mining. See, what we think happened is one of the people that was with James was, he was a Mason.
Yep.
And he, as soon as he seen that, that was a judge, was it, he went to?
Yeah, he's the county judge. He's over that up there, the county dumps what it was in the head there, and they used it, and the county bought it, and he turns around and sells it, you know. He sells it because this is his last year in office. But he's a Mason. I think he's a 32nd degree Mason.
Yeah, the only way you can do it, I could think of to stop it would be to present all of your evidence to some state historian and,
yeah,
and you know, about the Jonathan Swift or the Swift deal.
Yeah.
And see if you can get them to stop from tearing it up.
Yeah, I mean, I'll probably have to do that because I've not done that yet. And,
right offhand, right off the top of my head, that's the only thing I can think of to do to keep it from being, you know, tore up.
Yeah. Yeah, I may have to go that route on that. Because if they go in there, they will find that entry. Whatever's in there,
even if they don't find it, they're going to end up tearing everything up.
Well, we think that they're using the coal mining as a cover so that they can get in there.
I understood that. Yeah, but even if they play it straight up as a coal mine, then they're going to tear it all up. Nobody will ever be able to find anything.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen, but. Well, I'll check in on that and see what I can get done on that.
Well, what we're trying to do right now is we're trying to establish, we're trying to establish discovery. You know, getting all this stuff documented, getting the websites up, getting the radio shows, you know, so that, you know, he at least gets protected there, you
right.
know. So if anything is found, then, you know, it's his work.
Yeah, I found all these places before anybody had found them there, because they've been there for hundreds of years and nobody has never discovered them. When me and my brother-in-law first took up this search, and that's when we found some maps and things, and it fit with the creeks. We went right to every one of them spots right where Swift was supposed to head a mine, and they were there. They were a lot of work done in them places. And we dug on three of them. Two of them we didn't open, but the one we did is when that, whatever it was, come out of there. And so we didn't go back to that one. We left that one. He got scared and didn't want to go back. Now, where that bull is now, I'm about afraid to fool with that one.
Because that's where the one where you see now,
yeah,
you think you saw Satan.
I had a bad dream about that one.
Now, also, Bones, if you refresh your page again, I put up some more pictures. It shows a tree with markings on it, as well as a triangle with a dot in the center of that triangle.
Mm-hmm.
I've been meaning to get all these pictures up, but I've been so gosh darn busy here. I haven't had a chance. Then when James called today, I thought, the heck with that. I'm just going to stop and get this stuff done.
Now, those triangles, that was on that film, that leads me to believe there's something there in that hill. Because now it covers every bit of the screen of the camera there. When I watched it back, it just, they just come, appeared right on there. It's like magic. And they were whole rows of them triangles. They was 30 or 40 of them at least. I didn't count them. But it covered the whole screen of the picture. With triangles. And they were like black and white. They were kind of a light color when the black and white ones together, you know, different one after the other.
And then, James sent in that one picture, that rock with those scratches on it. And to me, I think what that is that ancient Ogham language. And if that is Ogham, that's the oldest written language there was.
Yeah. I don't understand what it means or what it says. You know, I found that.
Well, I sent it to a few people today, you know, asking if anyone can decode it. So I'm kind of hoping that somebody has some information on that. But
I saw the scratches on that sandstone rock, and I thought kind of the same way myself. Because that's, to me, that seems like it's almost some sort of a Boolean language.
Yeah.
You know, it's a ones and zeros type of language.
Uh-huh. Well, and then, well, of course, now the Ogham, that basically all the Ogham is just a matter of lines, scratches.
Yeah, it's
and then
it's
certain
you'll
angles.
You have one vertical line with cross lines going across it.
Yeah.
And that's why I say that. It seems like it's some sort of Boolean language.
You know? Uh-huh. Oh, okay. I didn't catch that last part.
Ones and zeros, ons and offs. You know, this is what you pay attention to, this is what you don't.
Yeah.
But how they worked it, you know, is a completely different story.
Yeah, I don't understand that right now. I couldn't decipher that.
But it's like, you know, the old timers that do complicated math on their fingers. They call that Boolean mathematics.
Uh-huh.
And say that computers use, a lot of computer systems use different types of Boolean mathematics or Boolean language. You know, it's just ones and zeros, it's ons and off. You count this one, you don't count, you know, you count this one a certain way, you count the second one a different way. And it just goes on and on and on. You know, ones, tens, hundreds, thousands, or A, B, C, D, or A but not B, or that sort of thing. You know, but how they used it and how they used that notation system in their languages, you know, written languages, anybody's guess.
Yeah, well, we're going to hope that, I'm hoping I can find somebody out there has to understand it, you know. Just don't know who. I wouldn't doubt that. Well, you said that. Well, there's the Shawnee, right?
Yeah.
They might have. But of course, you know, most of the Indians today have lost that knowledge. They're not much better than we are as far as lost knowledge goes. You know, a lot of them say they know a lot, but when it comes right down to blood and guts, they usually don't know a heck of a lot more than we do. Because that's been taught out of them through the various generations. So.
Yeah. See, the Great Cavern of the Shawnees, the ones they've been looking for is the ancient cavern. And the Cherokee and the Shawnee fit over this cave hundreds of years ago. And they had real battles there over that cave for some reason.
Well, there had been something very special about it then.
For them to have battles like that. I see Daniel Boone, when he come in here, he was looking for John Swift's mine at that time. I've read on that some. Even Swift, he mentioned Boone, a father, him and a group of men trying to see where they was mining the silver at. That's the reason I believe that Boone was in here, because he camped over here just a few miles from where I live. Daniel Boone did. In the winter of 1767 to 1768.
Well, that was his old haunting grounds.
Yeah, he was right in the same community. And he was following Swift around, but now Swift knew that he was following, so he got away from him. He took a different route to get away from him.
Now, that one rock that you have with the bones, the skull and bones, that was a mark of Jesse James?
Yeah, he's got one of those on his, one of the books I've been reading on the map. That skull and crossbones, that's one of his symbols. Yeah. And that triangle with that J on it, that could have been Jesse James.
Yeah.
Triangle with a dot in it, and there's an arrow pointing right down the heel to that one. The one just a regular triangle with a J and an arrow on it. That could have been one of his signs there, because skull and crossbones just within 150 foot of there on this rock in the same area.
Well, I'll tell you, you sure have found one heck of a fascinating place.
Yeah. Now, these carvings I found, I don't know if anybody else ever found them, because now they, most of them was covered up with a lot of moss on them.
Yeah.
And nobody in this area didn't get out and look for carvings and such. But, you know, I picked up the Swift Journal and started reading it, and that's when I got up and started looking, found all these symbols and signs.
Which was under moss.
Yeah.
At that
it
time.
It was covered up, yeah. Yeah, we'd scrape the rocks every time we'd come across one. Yeah, we'd scrape the moss off of it and peel it off, and there'd be carvings on it. Real old carvings. Yeah. Well, that's how we found all this.
Well, I'm definitely ready to go down there. I don't know about you, Bones. Where are you located at, Bones?
I'm in the Black Hills, South Dakota.
Oh boy, you're way up there, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm a long ways away from there.
Well, actually, you see, where I am is north. See, and this whole area is, you know, we show evidence of, you know, all this type of stuff, but not quite like what James has got. You know. Now this is really something else he's got down there.
Yeah, there's a lot of different aspects to this that all seem to tie together.
Yeah. Well, I talked to Brad tonight. We had made plans, you know, to go to Arizona. You know, we were going down, you know, stop in, visit James real fast, then we were going to Florida, and then up down New Orleans, and then to spend the rest of the time in Arizona with the Superstition Mountains.
Right.
But I talked to Brad tonight, and we've decided that we're just going to postpone it. This is too important. This stuff needs to be protected, you know.
Yep.
So
the trip to the Superstitions is always worthwhile. I've been there.
Yeah, but what's happening with James down there? This stuff has to get it has to get documented.
You've got to get everything documented and take plenty of chips for your camera.
Yeah. Yeah. And if there's any paranormal, metaphysical stuff going on, you can bet, James, that I'll get it.
he's mentioned a spring in the area.
Yeah.
And when you're down there, keep an eye out for any trunks or trees near that mound that's twisted. You know what to look for.
Yeah, the vortexes.
Yeah, the vortexes.
Yeah.
And I'm almost, from what I've been told, I'd almost guaranteed you're going to find that.
Yeah.
Within a couple hundred feet of that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, especially up there on that temple area.
Right. And the other thing too that I just was couldn't help wondering about, being a curious type that I am. James, with that silhouette of that man's head and face in a rock, do you know what he's facing across the valley or across the?
Oh, the Mint Rock.
No, there's that big. There's a big rock with a head.
Okay.
And it looks like it has a hat and a nose. You can see
Do you know what he's looking at?
Oh, that is a face, and now that's right down the hill. That's right down the hill from the main top of the knob.
Right.
Above the bull rock on the main top, you go down the other side where that one cave we went in. Now that rock's over on the other side of the ridge. It goes around. It's kind of a bend in it there, a few hundred feet away. And there's a big set of rocks there. Now that face is right in that.
Okay, but what is that face looking at? What's he facing?
He's facing some more rocks over on the other side of the hill there, looking right straight at him.
That's something I'd be looking at too, just real quick, like, just out of simple curiosity, is to go over there and take a look and see if there might be anything strange on the other side of that ridge.
Yeah, he might be the guardian watching over the main treasure.
Either that or something at the bottom of that ridge in the valley between them.
Yeah, this is pretty high up, you know, right pretty on top of the ridge.
Now, is that on the temple area?
It's on the hill, just right straight from the south of it, right straight south of it, within a few hundred feet. And there's another big set of high rocks there.
Right.
Just on the other side of them is where that face is. It's looking deep south.
To a certain extent, a person has to think big. You have to think, you know, to look around for 2 or 3 miles and stuff with some of this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, these, according to Swift, his mines was in 3 miles of each other, or a little farther than that, within 3 miles. And he mentions 3 miles this direction to one of the mines, 3 miles.
Yeah, when you go down there, Mary, that's one thing I'd take a look at myself if I were you.
Yeah.
You know, keep the whole, you know, guardian thing in mind.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And the other thing, too, to watch out for is to see if there's any of those standing rocks. You know, the upright Ogham stones. I never can pronounce it right.
Yeah.
You know, those marks.
Well, we're probably all pronouncing it. If we went with the original pronunciation, we're probably all pronouncing it wrong.
Oh, yeah. It's more commonly pronounced wrong now than...
But anyhow, I think we pretty much covered quite a lot tonight. What I'm going to do is, I've got all these pictures up now that James sent me. So now what I'm going to do tonight is start piecing this puzzle together for him. And so that we at least got this up and it's a start showing discovery. You know,
right.
And I think that's real important right
stunned.
At this point in time.
There's just a lot involved in this one site. There's just so many layers of it.
Yeah.
You know, historically and with the underlying meaning of what might be there.
Well, and it's real interesting, though, that Jesse James was 32nd.
Yeah.
33 degree Mason. That Swift was, you know, it seems
exactly.
Like, yeah. So, you know, I think that's kind of an important clue, too. And then, of course, Daniel Boone out there looking for it, you know, in that area. I mean, he must have been looking for something. You know, we all think one thing about our heroes, just to find out later on that usually they were in a certain place at a certain time for other reasons than what made them heroes.
Well, they had multiple reasons for doing it.
Yeah. And in the symbology here is just wonderful stuff, so... Anyhow, I'm going to start working on this a little bit more tonight. Anyhow, I think we got a good start on proving discovery.
I appreciate you for cluing me in on this. I hope I was able to bring some insight into some things.
Well, I wouldn't not include you in on it. You know?
James, I do appreciate all the hard work and research you've done on this as well.
Yeah, okay. It's... I've done quite a bit of research, and I've got a lot of stuff. I was going to write a book on this when I come up, you know, and find something with solid evidence, you know, then I can finish my book.
You got solid evidence right now. You got enough to get something good and started right.
Well, if you have problems with it, James, I can help you write it. You know, well, of course, though, so can Bones. Both of us write books, so
right.
We kind of got an idea.
It'll be another 3 to 6 months before I'm ready to start another project. I'm getting ready to start working on my own manuscript now.
Are you?
I'm finally...
Well, you know that you did hear that Mark Amaru Pinkham and me are we're co-writing a book, or we're writing a book together.
What's this about?
On giants, and David Hatcher Childress is publishing it. It's already a done deal. The book comes out, is scheduled to come out April 2007.
Well, good, I'm glad.
Yeah. Adventures Unlimited Press is, going to be the printer, and that goes through Jerry E. Smith, Spirit of Destiny.
Right.
So you see, this is, and then of course, James already contacted Jerry Smith, and he didn't quite catch the significance of it.
This is big time.
Yeah, he didn't quite catch the significance because he works just strictly with the Spirit Destiny right now. But, the thing is, for those that are meant to see will see, and the rest will be blinded from that truth.
Well, a lot of people look for this sort of thing, and they expect to see the big pyramid. They expect to see the tomb of Tutankhamun or something of that nature, and it's not always like that.
No.
But what he got here, it just adds up and adds up and adds up and adds up. There's plenty of evidence to go with here.
Yeah.
There's plenty of evidence to go with.
Oh, to me, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
But, I'm working with Mark, and of course Mark, is leading, he's a Templar, Of course, I've already promised James that I'm not letting the Templars know as of yet where this place is,
Right.
Because first of all,
then you don't want anybody to steal James's thunder for doing these
no,
types
he,
of interviews.
No, he needs, this is his project, and it needs to be protected. I'm just happy to be part of it.
Yep.
It's kind of fun.
So, James, I do appreciate your time and effort.
Yeah.
And it's been a real pleasure to visit with you this evening.
Anytime. It's been good talking with you there.
Yeah, and we're going to keep everybody. This is just the first, of the adventures of our, what is it, what was that guy's name? Indiana Jones, okay?
Yeah.
But this would be Scott Jones.
Yeah.
Or Indiana, what would we call it? Indiana James.
The next Indiana Jones.
Yeah, Indiana James.
Yeah,
that'd be fine. Just call him Kentuck.
Yeah, the Kentuckian.
I've traveled enough of these hills and mountains and different counties and parts of West Virginia and Virginia. I've been all over the place. It's been a long year then. Searching these high rocks and carvings and different places. I've spent a lot of time in these.
Well, you definitely, now's the time to get acknowledged, and we're going to help you with that.
Pastime.
Yeah, 30 years, my gosh, yeah. You deserve recognition for your work. And we're going to do that for you.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I think I'm going to say good evening.
Okay, nice talking to you.
Y'all take
okay.
care.
That was Warren Bonesdale. Anyhow, thanks a lot, James, and I'll get this show up right away so you'll be able to hear it.
And I appreciate it.
Okay, no problem.
Thank you very much.